episode 377. A host approaches command. With me as always.
Last change to hero, David McBurney, Phantom Master.
It's Dragon Quest Day.
Merry Dragon Mess to all who celebrate. I am currently in the process of peer pressuring my brother into playing a Dragon Quest game via text message.
Nice. And I also played today's other new release, which I'm going to talk about first, because why not?
There's another one?
LEGO Horizon Adventures.
Huh.
Picked that up to play with my 5-year-old, and we had a blast.
You had adventures.
It was truly a surprising experience on many different levels. Not only the weirdness of seeing the the PlayStation Studios stinger on a Switch game,
which has happened a few times, because we also have the random ass baseball games.
Yes. That was odd. Performance wise, it seems to be the best running LEGO game on the Switch.
That's weird.
I don't understand. And granted, it doesn't have any of the open world aspects that a lot of the other ones do, but
so weird.
Still.
Also, that's weird just because Horizon is an open world game. Yes. I don't understand.
Yes, this is very much a stage-based game.
That's probably for the best. The open world is one of the worst parts of Horizon.
Yes. Yes, I 100% agree. And not only that, but it's the most fun I've had in a LEGO game in a long time, because there's no like puzzle solving tedium. It's all just like running around in some actually kind of like back to basics. It's like a simplified version of Horizon's actual combat.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fun. It actually has a little bit of challenge to it. Like if you die, you get sent back to a checkpoint. You don't just explode into Legos and then instantly respawn. I don't know what to think. It's better than the last Horizon game, and it's like the best LEGO game. I don't know how this thing exists, but I'm not really complaining.
The co-op, we're better off for it.
You can dress up Aloy as Ninjago characters and random other LEGO characters. Yes. We got a
special. I just own that.
It's got all the original voice actors doing a, like, completely hilarious and really well done, like, funny LEGO script. It's got, like, special weapons with limited uses you can pick up. The first was, like, it's basically like a rocket jump, so you do a double jump near enemies and it explodes beneath them. And then we got one that summons a hot dog stand. And then the vendor throws out random exploding hot dogs all around it. Attacking enemies.
Huh.
Yeah, like this is the most baffling yet wonderful product I've seen in quite some time. I fucking love it.
That's a lot more than I was expecting.
Yeah, no shame.
I was expecting fully replacement level LEGO game.
No, it is shockingly exactly the opposite. And it's not the usual LEGO developers. I wonder if that has...
Yeah, I know it wasn't the regular LEGO developers. Yeah. Also, wow, rip. Yeah. I'm watching Wheels play some DQ3 and he just got... Oof. Man. Some of your party members are getting real bodied by these fucking slimes.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
Are you playing on Draconian Quest?
No, I actually started on normal, and I'm only going to bump it up if things get too easy.
Yeah. What personality did your hero end up getting?
Like Wit.
That's a good one. I got Paragon, so he'll be good at hitting things and not a whole lot.
Nice. If I remember to say, what a coincidence, I just put some new LEGO questions in the Discord list.
I checked the comment section, so no worries about that.
Yeah, we'll get to the LEGO stuff. But yeah, the LEGO Horizon Adventures surprise of the week. And looked at some of the reviews, and they seem like almost shockingly overly negative.
Huh.
But, you know, I know it can be kind of hard to review a kid's game, so I don't really know what to take of those. But yeah, I think it's I think it's wonderful. Like this is the kind of game I've been wanting from LEGO for a long time. Like
from both LEGO and Horizon.
Yes, from both LEGO and Horizon. Like you don't have, like, I understand it's LEGOs. You don't have to integrate some kind of building aspect in it, and I feel like they kind of, all the stupid puzzle shit in those other older LEGO games was just, it was interesting like the first one or two LEGO games, and then it just kind of got grating. So yeah, and this one, it's got some light platforming in it too, which is kind of fun. And the nice thing it does, you can die and like have to restart from a checkpoint, but thankfully it doesn't do that. For if you fall off the edge, it just pops you back up, so that's nice. And yeah, I utterly baffled, and yet then the funny voice acting is like, I cannot praise enough how good the voice acting has been. It's like beyond wonderful. It looks like all the voice actors like just had a blast doing that game.
That's good.
So yeah, do you like Horizon? You will probably love this. If you were frustrated with Forbidden West, like I was, this will be a nice reminder of why the franchise has really good potential. Like, fighting giant LEGO robot dinosaurs is pretty damn cool.
Turns out Horizon 3 is just going to be a LEGO game.
I'm okay with this.
I know you would be. That's why I said it.
But yeah, let's talk about some Dragon Quest.
I've only just started. I thought it was very funny that easy mode is Draggy Quest.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah, it seems very nice. It's very pretty. It's Dragon Quest 3 with some additional classes and bells and whistles.
Yeah.
It's really strange to start a game that is Dragon Quest 3 and it has voice acting. That's weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
I'm absolutely going to buy DQ 1 and 2 when those come out because I'm fucking stupid. You can't stop me. I can't remember if those are being released separately. If they're being released separately, that's even more horrible, and it's even stupider than I'm going to buy them.
I don't think they are, and I can tell you one reason why I think that is. So I bought this stupidly expensive collector's edition, which is...
Yeah.
Has almost nothing, and it was really expensive. But it comes
with I was not willing to do that.
This little like book-shaped box you can put your...
Oh, I assume it only has two spaces.
Yeah, it has two spaces. So that makes
sense. Yeah, it's a bit of a dead giveaway.
Yeah. I think I saw somewhere they even described it as Dragon Quest 1 and 2 2D HD remake.
You really can't sell Dragon Quest 1 by itself.
Yeah, no, you just can't.
It's like, it's an 8-hour RPG. Like, and that's nice, I enjoy that about it, but you can't. Like, you can't sell that to a mass audience, especially at full price.
Yeah.
And they're not selling a Dragon Quest remake at sub full price. But it's very pretty. I'm enjoying watching these little patooey things attempt to murder you.
Yeah.
May the goddess smile upon them as they murder you.
Where it says, just package DQ1 with DQ Builder 1 and call it a day.
I could honestly see that having quite a bit of an audience, if I'm being real. But that still like bends to the fact that you can't sell Dragon Quest 1 by itself. It needs to be tied to... It's like selling each one by itself.
I mean, when it came out on Game Boy, they didn't even sell it by itself then.
Yeah, that was Dragon Quest 1 and 2.
Yeah, it's just like East.
Yeah, you like East is a 4-hour action RPG. You cannot sell it by itself.
Although in Japan they sold the DS version separately.
Yeah, I know, that was some lunatic shit. notably, even Falcom doesn't try to sell them by themselves anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna get like yet another update of East 1 and 2 Chronicles, which are updates of East Eternal and East 2 Eternal, which I think might be the last time that they did this shit. But, like, they were packaging those games together as far back as the late 80s. Like, I mean, East Books 1 and 2 on TurboGrafx / PC Engine, it's like, they didn't even try to sell those separate. But, yeah, it's just one of those things, It looks like a very nice remake. I'm looking forward to digging further into it. I only just did my, like, personality quiz and talked to the king, so I am not yet anywhere near, actually playing a meaningful amount of it. But the HD 2D remakes continue to be nice. I continue to appreciate them. Due to my own psychosis, this will not supplant Star Ocean 2 R in my heart as my favorite of the HD 2D remakes, but... I feel like that's going to be a pretty niche opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, looking at Podium 3's review, his biggest complaint was it sticks like too closely to the original, which I can understand.
Yeah, I mean, that's usually my problem with remakes, and it's I mean, if I were to like judge this as a this is a pure exercise, and I should play some Dragon Quest III, and I will just. Like, this version's pretty... But, like, judged as a pure exercise, this is one of those things where, like, this game is too important to remake in a way that's interesting.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not going to get the Romancing Saga 2 remake treatment. Which,
yeah.
Yeah, see my review of that, which is up now.
Yeah. It's very good. But yeah, like you pretty much like, you know, as much as I'm an advocate for doing interesting things or not doing them at all, I will say at least this version doesn't look extremely fucked up. To clarify, the previous version that was on Switch and I believe is still technically purchasable for very cheap, it's like based on a cell phone version, and so like between like which itself was I believe based on the Super Famicom remake of Dragon Quest III. So between all the aspect ratio and resolution changes it's gone through, its graphics look weird and fucked up. So like if you're just choosing based on that, like I would say probably the version, but there's like a ton of versions of this. They're all roughly equivalent. I can't even get super mad at it. It's not the kind of remake I would get super excited about. About HD 3D. I'm surprised that Square Enix didn't remake FF 1, 2, 5, and 6 with the same 3D engine they used to remake 3 and 4. 5 was allegedly under consideration. It was likely bounced for the same reason that you would do it. Like, every character needs like a bazillion little model changes. It's not worth it. 6, you need to make a bazillion little models. It's all just like, It's a lot of work. The remakes did not appreciably sell better than the prior ones. Like, FF4 is an interesting remake. Like, just by fucking beating the shit out of you if you think it plays like the original and having weird new systems. So I respect it. I think, like, when I try to go back to that, the biggest problem is they're just really slow. They're really, really, really slow. I think the PC versions might have given a speed-up option. Hey, remember the fucking 3D version of FF4, the After Years, played by, like, 8 total humans? Still available on Steam, now coming to Apple Arcade for some reason?
Because no one gives a shit about Apple Arcade.
I have no idea what the thought... Like, the only thing I can think of is, it was cheap.
Yeah.
It's like when... remember the Ouya? Square released one game for the Ouya. It was the 3D version of FF3.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I would agree with Budai saying that he did not like the look of the 3D of the DS version of the Final Fantasy. I don't think that they're the worst looking things in the world, but like I don't think that the 3D versions look better than the sprite versions in basically any way.
Dear Lord, my fresh new party members have no fucking equipment, and I didn't even realize this.
Dragon Quest! They didn't change it!
Why? Why?
Fireman says Apple Arcade had that Space Harrier spiritual sequel by Yu Suzuki. Yeah, I think that finally got freed. It's like freed as in got to go to other platforms at some stage. Air Twister, I think. In conclusion, Sega, where is Sega Ages Planet Harriers? Anyone here a big Planet Harriers? Like anyone? Any Planet Harriers heads here?
No.
Okay, I looked it up. Air Twister was freed from Apple Arcade prison in November of 2023. So, yeah, the like Apple Arcade as a concept feels like a bit of a dead letter if they're like talking about like we've got new games. What is it? It's fucking ports of DS 3D remakes of Final Fantasy games from like 15 years ago. Like that's a proposition of like you announced that you treat that like an announcement when you're absolutely cooked. I get the sense that like there's like every time Apple does like a gaming initiative, there's like some part of the company that wants to be big in this space, and then like when it just doesn't take, like whenever their latest attempt at it doesn't take, they get bored and they leave. The I sort of want to get a thief in my party in DQ3 remake just for the sea treasures on the map. Oh yeah, that's incredibly useful. There's so many, like it's wild when you play Dragon Quest 1-3 again and you realize how many things are just this is on an unmarked tile on the map.
Oh Lord.
So having a class that can just say, hey, there's something on this tile. That's worth something. Let's see. Fireman says Sega is making new pagers called Emo Jam. Did anyone have a pager in the 90s? I was 9 when the 90s ended, so no.
No.
Like, that was not, like, even if I. Like, even if I had been old enough, that would have been too rich for my blood. Yeah, Dragon Quest, it seems neat. I've got so many fucking games to finish. I'm glad that we're finally at the point where the games will start to slow down. I need to continue making inroads in Dragon Age 4. I'm making good progress in there. I've assembled I have all the party members now. I've made my first obviously consequential decision.
Nice.
I'm having a good time. Like, one of the last characters I recruited was just this extremely friendly necromancer.
Interesting.
He's got like a nice little skeleton man servant.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. It's a good game. Let's see. Oh, and I've been fucking around with Shadows of the Damned Hella Remastered for the. I was playing the Switch version, which is a. Seems to be, you know, as good of a port of the 360 original as you could hope. Runs like a dream. So that's been fun. There are even more dick jokes in that than I remembered. Like, I forgot that the checkpoints are a horrible little wispy spirit thing called One-Eyed William. Like, there are just so many dick jokes.
I need to play that at some point. And also, Lollipop Chainsaw.
Yeah, I've heard less kind things about that remaster, but I'll have to check it out at some point.
It is easier than trying to play the original, so...
Yeah, tragically. Hopefully they can patch it up. Fireminer says, GOG just started an initiative that will make sure certain classic games will always be playable on modern PC setups. That's nice! I don't know if they can keep that up in perpetuity, but I appreciate the effort, because, good lord... I've ranted about this before. People act like this thing's on PC, that means it will work forever, and no, it doesn't. It means it will be much more confusing why it doesn't work.
Oh, God.
it's less bad with games that are released post Windows NT, but it's still by no means anything resembling a guarantee. You can get just the weirdest fucking errors to the nearly undiagnosable. And grow more undiagnosable by the year as Google continues to get shittier and shittier. You'll look up, why isn't this working? And you'll get, you need to download, a emulator that emulates, a very specific, range of graphics cards in order for this to not run like shit. That's usually if it's something that was designed to run on, Voodoo cards or whatever. But yeah, old PC games are always if it works, that's great. If it doesn't, good luck. Good fucking luck. See. But yeah, I'm glad that, GOG is continuing to keep that dream alive, because not a lot of other places are. Guy says, speaking of Apple Arcade, thankfully the Neo Fantasian is finally getting off to other systems. Yeah, that'll be nice. It's nice that Fantasian Neo Dimensions, or whatever it's called, finally, it would have been really tragic if Sakaguchi's, potentially last RPG just stayed on there and eventually got fucking banished to the Shadow Realm whenever Apple decided that they didn't give a shit anymore. Presumably whenever some sort of iOS incompatibility rendered it unplayable on modern handsets. Oh yeah, that's actually something I feel like bringing up. Have you ever you ever think about how there are just going to be children who grow up and find that their childhood games are just completely lost to time.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad to me to think about.
The Infinity Blade games?
Yeah, I don't think there's any way to play those anymore.
You can still play.
And that company still exists.
I think you can. They are playable. You cannot buy them anymore.
Yeah, and every company that has a piece of that still exists and still works with each other because, the developer got bought by the publisher.
Although maybe maybe it's an Epic Apple thing at this point.
Oh god, that might be it, actually. Since those two companies are, out for blooded against each other.
Yeah.
And they only came out on iOS. They did not come out on Android.
Nope.
There's an Infinity Blade 3? When?
Yeah, there is. I don't think I bought them. I think I only have the first one.
Yeah, I had the first one, because it was just I have a fucking iPod Touch. I'll fuck around with this, and it was fun. But, yeah, these were big deal games at the time.
Gone.
Yep. Okay, yeah. The game, along with its two sequels, were removed from the App Store in December of 2018 due to difficulties updating the game for newer hardware. I would imagine that coincidentally seems to coincide with the dropping of support for Unreal 3.
Mm.
Yeah, let's see. When was So when did they officially end of life, Unreal 3? I know that I remember it mostly because it was shortly after. It was shortly after Mighty No. 9 was announced. And that was just like one of the first like horrible things to happen to that project, was just like, we'll be working on Unreal Engine 3. Oh, congrats. Epic is uninterested in continuing to support that.
Didn't we just talk about Cowboys and Moo Mesa last week? Maybe. Hello?
Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
What were you saying, though?
Do we talk about Cowboys of Moo Mesa last week?
I did bring up the Wild West Cowboys of Moo Mesa. Okay. That did happen.
Yes, we do remember that. Firefighter.
Yeah. I think it was specifically that I was talking about it in the context of... I think I brought it up... Yeah, because we were talking about Ninja Turtles on Shenanigans. I said, like, I remember the Wild West Cowboys of Moo Mesa.
So he's the current Holy Grail RPG, I think, in Panzer Dragoon 6. I mean, no. Pretty sure you can get a... Pretty sure a copy of Mother 3 is easily gettable.
I assume he's talking about the idea for re-release.
Oh, okay. Yeah. In Panzer Dragoon Saga.
Probably
yeah.
up there. But, like, it's also going to depend upon... Like, I suppose if you're talking about people that are clamoring for re-release, you're already talking about hardcore weirdos, so yeah, that's probably fair. Yeah. Now I'm just imagining like some of the things I would pay to see some sort of like nice re-release of, but like I'm a fucking PS1 Squaresoft pervert, so it'd just be like Parasite Eve and Brave Fencer Musashi and all these games with no modern constituency. It's sad.
Shining Force 2. 2D HD.
I would probably convert to the style pretty well, but fucking Sega, I mean, yeah, good luck.
Sega.
Sega Gaga. Oh, that's something I would pay for an updated re-release of. Give me Sega Gaga. I feel like that would be a hard sell with current Sega, just because it's also like it's a game that could only have been made by Sega at its lowest point right before it went third party.
I would pay good money for a re-release of that Wonder Saga Saga 1 remake.
Wonder Swan Saga 1.
Yeah. Give me.
No.
Please?
No.
Actually,
you will get diced to Chocobo.
I own a copy of the cart.
You will get diced to Chocobo and like it.
No. But also maybe. That sounds neat.
How do you feel about the fucking Chocobo Derby Stallion game?
It sounds horrible.
Yeah, it's just called... you'll never guess what it was called.
Chocobo Derby Stallion?
No, it's called Chocobo Stallion.
No.
It's Japan only, PS1. Very strange game. Very, very strange game. A few weeks ago, the creator of Sega Gaga said on Twitter that he wanted to re-release the game, but he just didn't know anyone at Sega to talk to. Yeah, I remember that. Like, I feel like there would probably, like I said, I think there'd be some internal resistance to re-releasing Sega Gaga, just because it's a game from such a specific time, and it's like a weird lamentation of the death of what Sega had been to that point. Like, it's self-effacing, but it's also, like, kind of sad. Like, it's about Sega being turfed out of the hardware business by more successful competitors, and about, like, you know, there's all sorts of things about it that are just like, oh, this fucking director that you can put on games, they turn out games nice and quick, but the games are bad. You put this guy on, the games take forever and go over budget, but they're really, really good. And, like, it's the sorts of things, and, you know, it's just one of those things that, like, I think that, like, so much of Sega's brand identity at this point is reliant on nostalgia. Like, even their forward-thinking, like, new thing where they're trying to focus on, like, bringing a bunch of new games to market is, like, we're trying to figure out what of our old brands we can revive. Here's a new Streets of Rage. Here's a new Golden Axe. Here's a new Jet Set Radio. Here's a new Crazy Taxi. Here's a new Shinobi. Like, all of this is not... we're making a bunch of new things. We're making a bunch of new things out of old things. Because so much of, like, the Sega games, like, not talking about Atlas, not talking about any of their other holdings, but the things that are just, like, these are Sega games. So much of that has been brand management and nostalgia management. And here's a fucking Game Gear the size of a keychain that can play games, and no one should ever do that, but we want to give you the notion that, like, the Game Gear was something that you think of fondly. Decades of attempting to convince Japanese players that the Mega Drive meant something to the majority of Japanese players at the time. You know, like, just the so much of Sega has been brand management and trying to cultivate, like, a very specific image of what classic Sega is, and Sega Gaga is kind of indirect, like, not totally the opposite, but it's a much more tongue-in-cheek weird game that doesn't fully comport with the way that Sega wants you to think of old Sega. But we'll see. I mean, stranger things have happened.
Yes, four
seasons. Yeah, the Sega is also amazing. There's card collecting and chip collecting arcade games. There's a question in the Discord list about Sega's 2000 arcade. Yeah, I'll get to that in just a moment. But yeah, I mean, like, Sega has all sorts of stuff that they like calling out to, but I mean, it's, there's a very specific brand that Sega wants you to think of when you think of Sega. Sega! I've said Sega enough that I feel like I'm going to actually die. Sega, Sega. Stop. Okay, somehow the podcast section got overrun with discussion of Hardee's.
Yeah, you know, as you do.
Yeah, I'm not asking. I'm just gonna look.
Derail it by saying fast food is terrible in all ways.
Yeah, it can be. Let's see. Let's see if I can find the Sega questions. We'll get to these LEGO questions as well, but... let's see. I'm going to quickly rattle off one of these just because I noticed it, and I think that our answers are going to be fairly quick. Did you care for the S video versus RGB debate back then? Absolutely not. Didn't know what it was. What about you, Wheels?
Don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it's a thing now with lots of retro collectors. Yeah, more power to them. I don't have space in my life to get that up in arms about ancient video standards.
Oh, dear Lord. You're asking this show where one of the hosts, that's me, happily in retro collections, chooses the option to play games in widescreen.
God, I hate you. people in America actually use laser discs during their time? Very few. Very, very few. Its peak in the U.S. and in Japan, I think, was actually in the 90s. And, like, I'll be honest with you, I don't remember ever seeing a significant Laserdisc selection at any store contemporarily. It was extremely niche.
I saw them at a local, like, video rental store, and I don't think they had them very long, and it was extremely weird to see them. And that's the only place
they were a uniquely bad rental format for a multitude of reasons. They were very much a collector format, and they made a certain degree of sense in that context, but outside of that, like, they were just like for rentals, they took up tons of space. They were extremely easy to fuck up. Like, you needed to rent a, like, when you were renting them out, you had to, like, hand out multiple discs for regardless of the length of the film, because anything longer than 60 minutes was going to be more than one disc. It was just not a rental-friendly format in a lot of ways. But yeah, like, it was super expensive. It was super, super expensive. Like, it never got cheap enough to be mass market in the U.S. And the advantages over VHS just were not enough to make people spend to hawk out another, you know, $500, and I'm lowballing that price, $500 just for that. Like, you know, like, one of the things I think about is there are like five different successor formats to VHS, and almost none of them had any real pickup. Like, have you ever even seen a VHS?
Seen what?
An SVHS?
No.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. it was not possible to get people to be like, the picture quality is better, that'll get you to upgrade, right? No, it wasn't enough. Speaking of, like, S-Video and S-VHS were definitely, branded together to some extent. Even though, you know, the S-Video format predates S-VHS by a number of years, but, like, that was the push to get them in VCRs, and, like, you could get a lot of VCRs that would play SVHS, but, like, you know, ultimately, the majority of the audience was going to keep getting the cheap ones, the cheapest VHS VCRs that they could get, and so, like, attempts to sell upgraded VHSs just never really went very far. But that didn't stop them from trying SVHS, WVHS, DVHS. Like, there's a lot of VHS successors that never really went anywhere. Let's see. A few years ago, Sega put the son of the original Sagata Sanshiro into a Saturn-inspired advertisement. We haven't seen the guy since then. Yeah, believe it or not, an ex of mine actually had two SVHS in her collection that I had to point out to her. Yeah, I mean, part of the problem was also just that, like, if you just looked at an SVHS on a shelf, you wouldn't be able to tell that they were different. But, had the original PS2 sold at $400, would people have still bought it? Yeah, probably, but probably not as fast.
I think that still would have been a cheap DVD player at the time.
Yeah, at the time, that would have been a cheap DVD player, and DVDs were clearly the way things were going. They'd been out for a few years, so people already kind of knew what they were and kind of knew that they cared. There was just a general, like, preference. Like, the like discs seemed like the format of the future, and this the square bricks seemed like the format of the past. Like, you go back and look, and it's like, okay, we, like, at least in America, our music was on cassette tapes for, you know, a decade or so, and then, like, CDs came out, and it took a while for them to replace cassette tapes, but, you know, when you were getting a new thing, you weren't getting another cassette player, you were getting a CD player, and so, in the same sense, when you were getting a new movie player, you weren't getting a VCR, you were getting a DVD player, and so... Hey, like, I wanted the next console anyway. I had a PlayStation. Statistically, if you played games, you probably did. I might as well get the new PlayStation that also plays the new movie format that I want to get. So I think that, you know, that was probably going to happen either way. I'm convinced that the music CD only truly replaced cassettes when CD MP3 became a thing. I think so, just because, like, people liked burning CDs, and, like, that definitely, like, put the nail in the coffin, but, like, I think that the idea of, like, it replaced the last niche that you were still using cassette tapes for, but I feel like it was very niche by the time that, like, MP3 CDs happened, and a lot of MP3 CDs were kind of a nightmare compatibility-wise with a lot of CD players. Because, you know, at some point you'd have a lot of cheaper CD players running around that simply didn't know what to do with MP3 CDs.
Be back in a sec.
No, you won't. You're abandoning me. How about them local sports team? I'll see if I can find something. Let's see. Let's see.
Okay.
Hey.
We have more questions.
Yeah, I'm pushing down these to try to find ones that fit with some of the things we've been talking about. Let's see. Should talk about how Doom 3 made id Tech 4 lose to Source. From what I heard from my modder friends, the only thing Source has to offer over id Tech 4 is that it's a bit more flexible to mod. No one likes Doom 3, so no one made mods for it, but there were tons of mods for Half-Life 2, and Source only got more popular because Machinima. I mean, that's probably a bit of it. There's a lot of different things that happened there. But, like, you know, being easier to work with is always, like, that's always a thing that, like, people kind of try to skate around, is the idea that, like, oh, this will be, you know, this is the better thing, but the thing that draws people more often than not is what is easier to work with, what's good enough, but easier to deal with. Like, over and over we see that happen. And people sort of, like, convince themselves that, like, oh, well, this will be better in an ideal condition, and it's like, no one's working in an ideal condition. Like, you know, you can have infinite ideas for a better version of what you've made, but the thing that's going to matter is the thing that you actually put out. And if something makes it hard to like work with, that's tons of things that just never get finished. And, you know, there goes your support. Like, I'm sure there were plenty of people who were used to working with id Tech engines that would have been... And, you know, certainly the lukewarm reception to Doom 3 as an actual video game didn't help. But, you know, like, there are I feel like there's bigger issues that were in play here, and just, again, you know, being that little bit easier to work with, everything, anything you can do to have fewer hurdles to jump, it's going to be worth it. I once again, I point to this every time, like, there were development teams lined up to try to make something like Bloodstained work on the Wii U and Vita, and neither of those versions came out because it was just not worth it. Also, hello, Joe.
Hello.
Poor Vita and Wii U.
Poor Vita.
No, I think it mostly got what it deserved.
The Vita?
Yes.
Yeah.
It deserved better. It deserved a father who loved it.
I don't feel like there was much riding that ship.
Not really.
Oh, so Microsoft said their handheld is a few years away, and it's like, well, way to miss the wave, but okay.
I'm sure there will still be calls for Steam Decks in 2028.
Yeah. I just hope they don't try to do, like, cloud only or anything stupid like that.
I mean, if they were doing that, it would be much closer.
Yeah, it would be out already.
If they were doing that, yeah, we'd have it.
So.
I'd suspect it's some sort of Steam Deck-like object.
Yeah.
Maybe with some direct compatibility with Xbox.
The X Deck.
X Deck. Ooh.
That's
love
an
it.
Awful name.
Then
again, there seems to be no floor on awful names for these things. Like, Rog Ally, I don't understand where that name
Xbox
came from.
Series P.
That's... You're just digging worse and worse holes. I don't understand.
The P is for portable.
Yeah, it like, but it also sounds like it's piss. I'm sorry.
The P box, yeah.
Let's see. Okay, so we're getting asked about the Lego questions. I will find these. I will spelunk through the questions and find the Lego questions.
I didn't realize this HD 2D remake came out today.
It did, yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
My copy arrived as well.
This looks neat.
It's Dragon Quest III.
I don't know.
What you see is what you get.
I never played the original, but it's like, this looks neat. Yeah. Why not?
It's a good game. It's a classic for a reason.
Yeah. It's a good game, but you should play Romance of Saga 2 instead.
Wow. Well, it's alright.
It is a better remake. For sure. Oh, fuck.
I see a Lego question. Is there a place for Lego Worlds 2? Is that Lego Dimensions that you're referencing? Or is
no,
there something
LEGO
called
Worlds
Lego Worlds I've never heard of?
Minecraft-ish creation.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that wasn't a bigger deal.
I haven't played it, but from what I've heard, it wasn't the best.
Mm-hmm. And Lego games in the 90s leaned much more into the simulation aspect, or have Lego, Fortnite, and all other licensed games are so profitable, Lego just doesn't see the need for a Minecraft. Like, I feel like part of the issue is just that, like...
Hold on, I'm gonna stop you right there. Lego Fortnite is Minecraft. Like, they've already done it. It's right there in front of you.
Okay, but what I would say is that, like, pure Lego simulation kind of eats into their core business market. So they kind of have to always have something in them that's, like, driving you back to actually buying Lego.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do miss, like, I can talk about how I miss some of the weird fucking shit that they made back in the Lego Island era, like fucking weird shit like Lego Rock Raiders or you know, like all those, but like honestly that's almost pure nostalgia talking. There's not like a particular reason for them to go back to those.
love a Lego Dimensions minus and then like having to use actual physical pieces to play it. But
yeah,
not that that game was the best, because it was just kind of standard Lego schlock.
But the franchises that it brought together,
there were so many like weird, hilarious interactions.
If Sonic interacted with Gandalf? I think it would go something like this.
What if Lego Batman interacted with Lego Batman? Yes, that happened.
Different Legos Batman.
Yes. Will Arnett.
Lego Batman. Lego Batman meets Lego parentheses Batman. Or Batman, like Lego Batman meets Batman parentheses Lego.
I liked the Lego movies and the Lego Batman movie that had Will Arnett. And
Will Arnett's always great.
Who was Robin? Was it Michael Cera?
It was Michael Cera, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a great movie, yeah.
I think that just makes that an Arrested Development reunion. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm Mr. Manager. We would just say manager. God, I just got to the fucking Community episode. Like, I've been rewatching that while working, and I got to the episode that, like, there's just a random, like, fucking dude named Coogler in the background, and it's like, who is this? And it's like, oh, it's Mitch Hurwitz. It's the creator of Arrested Development. It's playing a weird college frat guy.
I was going to say, it's hilarious to look back at the Lego movie, which the plot of which is basically, hey, you fuckwads, get buying these Lego sets and not letting children play with them. Stop that.
Yeah.
And
there are so many Lego sets that are just for
collectors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that $300 Legend of Zelda set.
Oh, God.
The second movie is basically, hey, siblings, fucking get along.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team.
I've never been part of a team.
If you played the Lego DLC in Forza Horizon 4, there's a radio station that just plays that song over and over again.
That's fitting.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that will never be released.
That was a fun DLC.
For sad reasons.
All the Hot Wheels DLCs were just bad. I'm sorry, what?
Oh, I was saying, speaking of things that will never be re-released for sad reasons.
Yeah.
Speaking of Lego, has anyone seen the trailer for that Pharrell Williams seemingly documentary that's done all in Lego?
No, what the fuck are you talking about?
Hold on, I'm gonna get you a link to it.
None of these words are in the Bible. Get out.
So, but that, Horizon Zero Dawn Lego game, that still looks neat, you know?
Wheels was just talking about that, because that is also out.
It is.
That came out already, too?
Yeah,
man. Is it fun?
Wonderful.
Oh, good.
Like, hilarious dialogue. It doesn't have any of the stupid puzzle shit that Lego's games relied on too much.
Uh-huh.
It's just, like, fun, simple action with a little bit of platforming.
Yeah, I really tried to get on here on time today, but I was just running a bit late. But
that's fine.
If you think Lego games are too easy, it's got difficulty choices.
Oh, okay.
It's, again, it's very funny. No, I like it a lot. It's doesn't have any of the open worlds stuff that some Lego games have, but I played it with my 5-year-old for like 2 hours, and we had a blast.
It looked neat, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's really good.
And it's a Sony game that you can buy on a Nintendo console.
Yeah,
wow.
On Switch, and it performed better than any Lego game I've seen on Switch.
Holy crap. Well, that's good. Yeah, because in Horizon Forbidden West, I mean, you recruit a ragtag group of kind of weird guys who all like are in love with her, even though she's into girls. But
quiet on the set.
It's pretty neat though, seeing some of those interactions, and it's like, I wonder how that would work in Lego. And But what I liked about Forbidden West, though, is I do like how early in the game there's a lot of dialogue where Aloy just goes into a new town and the mayor is some douchebag who's like, "What are you doing, little girl?" And she's just not having it, and it's great. Like, she just doesn't put up with their shit. Great.
How dare you point this at me, you bastard.
It's a real thing.
I didn't say it wasn't.
We believed you. We just didn't want to think about it.
I just wasn't ready to process it, and then you shove it in my face.
It's not that we didn't believe you. We just didn't want it to be true.
I'm not even going that far. I am perplexed. I am staring in mute confusion, wondering what life did to me.
What is
wondering this? Why I chose these for friends.
Oh, that's cool. What happens a lot now is I open up Steam and it'll be advertising some new indie game on sale, and it's like, oh, that looks neat, I'll follow that. Oh, Homeworld 3, mostly negative. What went wrong? Let's find out.
There was a Homeworld 3?
Yeah, I guess.
I think that's probably the third Homeworld to get the stitch.
I think I tried to play the Mac version of 2 and was just like, I don't like this. Well, set.
Mostly negative on Steam, huh? Oh, well. On sale for half off.
Oh, and they're releasing about becoming a gadabout.
They're releasing a white Steam Deck, but then it's got light gray buttons, and it's just ugly. And I don't know how they can justify charging an extra like $30 for a shitty paint job.
I need you to understand that the kind of person who buys variant consoles is insane. See, also wheeled.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know how many fucking ones you have.
I don't know what you're talking about. I need to go, move some.
How many 3DSs do you have now? Like, 6?
Dozen.
Talk about one of them. Let's move on.
One of them, the 2DS. What?
Two of them are 2DS XLs. One of them is a 2DS.
Oh yeah, I'm trying to bring up just, you know, recent gaming news that maybe you guys would skip over. But then again, it's like, there's a reason why things get skipped over, huh?
Oh, this is uninteresting.
This is not interesting.
I swear there was something.
Oh, okay, so I keep hearing things about this Nine Souls game.
I don't know what that is. That sounds like it was generated by an algorithm.
No, it's an overwhelmingly positive Metroidvania, Souls-like, 2D platformer.
I was excited until I heard Souls-like.
Yeah. Souls-like, Metroidvania, indie, fuck off.
Okay.
It's just been so, like, if something looks like it's just like, I played Dark Souls, it's like, no, there's so many of them. I've been playing them for 15 years, I'm done.
I have been told that so many fucking indie Metroidvanias are the shit, and almost all of them universally are trash.
Trash is really mean. Trash is too far, but like, they're just...
It's like, this is...
They don't distinguish themselves enough for my brain to keep track.
It's like, this is a solid maybe C-.
Yeah.
You're selling this to me like it's better than Metroid Dread. Like, please stop, people.
Well, let's see. It's Nine Souls is a lore-rich, hand-drawn 2D action platformer. Okay. Featuring Sekiro-inspired deflection-focused combat. No! God, no! If it's all parodying, then no!
I don't want to be a huge dick to indie developers. They're small teams making games they're passionate about. But I personally am just kind of done with this whole, like, milieu of game.
Well, they had me until they, you know, said Sekiro-inspired reflection-focused No, that's not Souls-like. That's Sekiro-like. That's different, and it's stupid. I don't like it.
I like Sekiro, but, I mean, I've played so many games that are, like, consciously or unconsciously aping Dark Souls over the past decade and a half. I can't.
I said this after PAX East, so it's like I walked by so many games that looked like just bad Dark Souls.
Like, man, that well is tapped. That well is so tapped.
I'm so burnt out from that well, I can't even get into Elden Ring. And you want me to play your indie souls like? Good luck.
Oh, yeah, I didn't...
You need to distinguish yourself more than that.
I wouldn't say that I gave up on Elden Ring DLC, but I haven't played it in a while, and it's like, oh, yeah, huh. You know, that DLC is so goddamn hard.
Well, fair reminder, that is my opinion, exactly. Yeah, the Castlevania DLC for Vampire Survivor looks wonderful. I have my fill of that game. I can't be bothered.
Oh, I was just playing it again today, so I need a break from Vampire Survivors again. It was good to get back into it, but yeah, like, what happens is, so you get one new map, and it's huge, to a point where they put teleporters in, and there's, like, all these bosses you can summon, and it's great. It's very well designed, and it kind of... Parts of it match the layout of Symphony of the Night. And I had a lot of fun with it. But what happens is you get, like, I don't know, a whole bunch of characters to unlock. And they're all recognizable people from the series for the most part. And each one has, like, a unique weapon, like a new whip or something. So I had a lot of fun with it. It's just that what happens is the last character you unlock is Richter. And once you unlock him, then you go to Dracula's throne room. And he's sitting there. And there's this funny conversation, like... Die, monster, you don't belong in this world. And he's like, oh, come on, you fucking people, like, you know, you come into my castle and break all my shit and destroy all the candles and the windows and what the hell, like, leave me alone, you stupid Belmonts. So, you know, so Dracula's like, okay, you know what, I'm just gonna join you at this point. And then Death shows up and he's like, that's not supposed to happen. And then Death turns into a giant skeleton and tries to kill you. And So Richter's the last of, like, the 15 characters that you unlock, and you fight Death, and you beat him, and that's how you get Dracula to join you. But that just unlocks the second half of the DLC.
Oh, dear lord.
Right, so now there's a whole new chunk of the map to explore, and they put new bosses in there, and there's another, like, 20 people to unlock, and I'm like, oh, okay, Jesus Christ, like... Like, great job, like, giving me so much freaking content on a $4 DLC, but I don't want to keep playing anymore. Too much. Because, you know, you got to do...
a good thing.
Yeah, you got to do a run with, like, it'll say, okay, to unlock this character, you've got to evolve this other weapon. And it's like, okay, well, who has that weapon? This guy. Okay, well, how do I unlock him? Well, you got to evolve this other weapon that this other character has. And it's like, there's this whole string of characters and you to unlock and weapons you have to evolve, but of course it doesn't tell you what accessory you need for the evolution, so it's all this kind of guess and check. And it's like you do all these like 5, 10, 20 minute runs where you're just trying to figure out how the fuck you evolve one of the weapons to get the next character, and it's like, okay, I'm done. It's like, I need a break. But now there's all these obscure characters that I'm like, this is a Castlevania character? It must be in one of the games I didn't play, because I don't know who half these people are now. It's wild.
Bobby Belmont.
Yeah.
You big Kokoro Belmont fan. I'm going to start listing real ones that you've never heard of. Yes. You're going to have to live with Kokoro Belmont.
That's
and
real?
Victor Belmont. Yeah. Kokoro Belmont is from Otomedia's Excellent.
Oh, God. I don't even know what that is!
Exactly.
Otomedia's was a version of Gradius where all of the ships were, like, weird teenage girls with guns.
Okay.
I'm listening. No.
The police are on the way.
Sounds like Death Smiles.
Yeah, kind of. The police are on the way.
No, but see, when I play Death Smiles, see, the big brother instinct takes over, and I just want to help those poor girls get home.
Okay.
That's all it is, I swear.
I need as little information about this as possible. I request to no further interrogation of this set of statements.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm playing Drag Quest now. There's an
NBC reporter in your living room as we speak to ask all about you and your death smiles.
Oh no, Chris Hansen! Just remember that South Park episode? Yeah. Oh, Chris Hansen! Yeah. Come over here, sit down. Come have a seat. Come have a seat. Come talk to me. Come on. Yeah. It's awful.
I'm sorry, I'm playing Dragon Quest now.
It's fair.
It's dragons, it's quest. I need to make a party.
Sitting here thinking that I, instead of playing this, I should be finishing Dragon Quest 11.
Yeah,
you should.
I'm thinking the same thing.
You twit, you nitwit.
You know why I didn't beat Dragon Quest 11? Because first I bought it on PS4, the original version, and got about 10 or 20 hours in, and then I started over in on the Series S and X, or Xbox One with the... Yeah, and then I just... By the time I caught up to where I was originally, it was like, okay, I'm kind of bored.
Yeah, restarting a 100-hour RPG is not a recipe for success.
No. Even though I wasn't that far into it, it's just...
It's still...
I don't know.
It's not the fastest start, so it's easy to just, like...
Yeah.
Lose momentum.
But it's a Play Anywhere title. So I got it on Xbox and PC, and on Series X it's 4K, and then on my PC I can do 4K and 120 FPS, which looks exactly like 60 FPS, but shh. And
finally,
and it's fine.
Turn-based RPG is running at the highest possible frame rate.
No, but actually the PS4 version had weird,
Oh, those weird suck-ass first-person archery minigames?
No, it was... what happened was, I don't know what it was. It might have been something with, like, the frame timing or frame pacing or whatever you want to call it, because it...
Pay attention to dialogue while we're doing this.
It just was, I don't know. Just, it was, the frame rate just looked odd. On the PS4 version, that's all.
I'm sure there's reasons for that.
Has anyone here finished East 10 Nordics? I still haven't.
I haven't started it yet.
I'm not going to start it until I finish Tokyo Xanadu, and the post game of Tokyo Xanadu just keeps going and going and going.
I mean, you're allowed to say that you're done.
Did you do your Romancing Saga review?
Yes,
that's up.
Oh, it is? Okay.
That's on RP Gamer right now.
Yeah, I might go check that out. Okay.
You should, because you got a higher score than this game.
Wow.
Wow?
Got a higher score than Dragon Quest.
Yeah,
and they both got good scores.
Yes, they both got very good scores.
Let's be clear here.
Yeah. So, no, I've just been having a hard time because I haven't done any new videos in like 2 weeks, and just for some reason, if I try to record anything through the capture card right now, I just get audio delay, and it's like I just can't figure it out. But I was playing a little bit of FF7 Rebirth again, and so you have to find like the 10 groups of soldiers, you know, to do the parade or whatever. And I was determined.
You don't have to find all 10 of them, but
determined to do it because there's a bronze trophy, and then I guess they say you can get a higher score on the parade minigame, rhythm game, whatever. Mm-hmm. If you have all the people, so I was like determined to find them all, and I did, but then I was like so bored and tired that I didn't want to go to the next part. So
this is why you don't do this to yourself. Trophies are bad.
And then you see Barrett in that goofy sailor outfit. It's like, what a dork.
You should look forward to when you get to see Red 13 wearing an outfit.
Oh, but Red 13 like was like He's like, if those kids pet me, I swear to God, I'm gonna kill them. Yeah. Couple, there's, yeah, you find him in the city, and there's a bunch of boys kind of like, oh, look at the doggy, and he's like, they better not pet me. That's great.
Yeah, they bring back some beautiful scenes from the original FF7 in new and exciting ways in when you're going from Junin to Costa del Sol. Costa del Sol is nice and relaxing. I recommend that.
Yeah, so when I finish this story section and get back to the, you know, an open area, then I'm gonna record some footage for my YouTube channel for my holiday buying guide.
Where can they find it?
Oh, it's on YouTube, Smoke and Joe Gamer.
If we ambush them with the plugs in the middle of the episode, they're more likely to hear them.
Yeah, you know? Jeez. No, that's what I'm saying. I haven't done a new video in 2 weeks because after multiple attempts to just record some Contra Operation Galuga footage, it's like audio delay no matter what I do, and I just keep changing the settings, and I keep trying to record again, and I might end up having to just live stream it to YouTube right from the console and then just move on because I spent way too much time just trying to record this one freaking episode. But that's a game that came out in 2024 that I would recommend for Contra fans and Metal Slug fans, and I'd give it a 7 or 8 out of 10 probably. It's just, it's very short, but you know, you replay it to unlock more stuff.
I mean, it's Contra.
Yeah. Yeah, how long do you expect it to be? It, you know what I mean? Yeah.
It would be bad if Contra was long. You would get very tired of it before
exactly.
It was done if it was long.
Yeah, and there's a lot of replay value, and you can unlock more characters, and I got Sheena, and she's kind of fun to play. Because she, I haven't played Brad Fang or Brownie yet, but as far as I know, Sheena's the only one, like, she has like a, if you press up and the ability button, she'll shoot up her grappling hook, but if you just press it without a direction, she like swipes the air with her gun, and I found out that it stops projectiles and it makes enemies like freeze in place for a second. So I'm like, oh, no one other character has that. So it's like, oh, that's kind of neat. But I trying to use it effectively is hard. So yeah, that's a neat game. So definitely covering that if I can get a good, you know, if I can get some usable footage. And then 7 Rebirth, though, I'll definitely do an episode on that, of course. And then Granblue Fantasy Relink came out in January. I'm like, hey, that counts. And then Unicorn Overlord counts, and Metaphor. And I have too many JRPGs, and they're so freaking long, and I just need to finish one.
It's been a very good year for JRPGs.
It really has been.
Really,
I just,
really good.
I just don't have the time and the patience to play them all, you know?
We got all those, and we got Legend of Heroes. We got East 10. We got a remaster of Tokyo Xanadu. It's probably a bunch of other ones I'm forgetting.
There's been a lot of big RPGs. There's been so many.
And then I think I can do Undernight Inbirth 2. Which is like almost identical to like the previous ones, but yeah, when did that come out?
It's different, but it's fighting game different.
Yeah, and then Songs of Conquest. I did a bunch of videos, but I mean, I don't mind doing another, like, I don't know, 15, 20-minute video just to tell people how amazing it is. And that just got ported to PS5 and Series X, actually. And I think they said a Switch version is planned. They just don't know when. Let me see here. It's crossplay too. That's good. So, and what about the Switch? The Switch presents a unique set of challenges compared to other consoles, which makes development more complex. While we'd love to see Songs of Conquest on the Switch, we can't make any promises at this stage. We're continuing to explore the possibility, but we don't have any further updates for now. I mean, that could just mean maybe they're waiting for the next Nintendo console that has a little more horsepower, you know?
The Switch presents
we'll see.
Unique set of challenges. Translation. Switch old.
Which
it's old, and we don't know if we'll if it's worth it given that its successor is on the horizon.
And while the game is deck verified, while playing it on the deck, there were a couple times where it kind of locked up between turns, and there was texture popping and stuff. So I would be surprised if you know.
Deck verification is one of those things where you have to have a lot of patience.
Yeah.
Like you have to be willing to get some accept very variable like results, or deck verification is not for you.
Okay. Undernight Inbirth 2 came out January 24th. All right. That's eligible for my series. And the idea is to get some episodes out before Black Friday and Cyber Monday this year, you know? Hopefully, maybe a handful of people will actually watch them and then make a decision, you know?
Yeah, I think it's kind of becoming very quickly becoming Black Month.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm currently just waiting for a bunch of eShop shit to go on sale.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, aren't we all?
Everyone's doing the early Black Friday sales. Early Black, just do sales the whole month, for fuck's sake. Off with this shit.
Well, once Amazon gets my old iPhone and appraises it and hopefully issues my $120 or $115 credit, then I'll have money to put towards Black Friday stuff. Yeah.
Well, there is a nice game that you should put your money towards called Romancing Saga 2 Revenge of the Seven.
Available now for all major consoles. And
oh, here it is! LEGO Horizon Adventures! Oh, let me watch this trailer.
A couple things that are in the chat. Oh yeah, Lost Eidolon. A really good strategy RPG is having a new game in development. Bad news is that it will be a roguelike. God damn it.
Huh.
God damn it was me. And Fireminer saying, and my brother just sent me a picture of the Happy Meal Mario Kart toys they are giving out in Japan. He said the kids wanted to get a full set. Yeah, that sounds like something I would have gone, like, absolutely ballistic over as a 6-year-old. Oh yeah, wow. Speaking of weird strategy RPGs, did we see that Riviera on Switch is getting an English release now, finally?
I think so. I think I saw that.
Well, I was saying, did we talk about it?
No, I don't think we did, no.
Yeah, that's been one of those things that's like, that has to happen eventually, right? And the answer was, yes, it did. And it's now. That time, you can't see me, my time is now.
LEGO Horizon Adventures looks freaking awesome.
I'm telling you, it's... I was shocked.
Wow. Who is Studio Gobo?
Mm.
Because it's saying developer Guerrilla Games and Studio Gobo. And then publisher, of course, is PlayStation Publishing LLC. This is the Steam listing. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe they just did the port to PC.
No, their name's on every version.
But did I just hear lyrics to a Chumbawamba song in that trailer? What the fuck?
Dude, okay, let me tell you this. Okay, I talked about this earlier, so I apologize for anyone listening that has
TV. Oh, I wasn't tuned in, sorry.
Yeah. So, mainly you just have your bow, but there's little sub-weapons you can get with, like, limited charges.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you get your go.
So the first one we got was, like, some kind of, like, rocket jump. Basically, you jump and jump again, and there's an explosion under you. That's fun. Then we got a hot dog cart that you summon. Complete with its own little Lego vendor who throws exploding hot dogs all around it. Just hitting any enemies.
Wow.
Like, what the fuck? Also, there's a bunch of costumes from just random Lego stuff, like Ninjago and, like, you know, classic Lego City and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's... I don't know how this is becoming. This seems like it's the best Lego game since forever. Although I haven't. In all fairness, I haven't played the Lego Skywalker collection that came out recently. That's supposed to be really
the Skywalker good. Saga or whatever.
Skywalker Saga is supposed to be really good.
Oh, I got that for free on PlayStation Plus. Yeah. Yeah,
it's supposed to be very good. This is also extremely good and fun. And like I said, what's probably going to scare people off is some of the stupid Lego bullshit that some older Lego games have had, and this has none of it. It's just straightforward, fun action.
God, now I'm remembering the latest whispers about what the next set of Star Wars movies is going to be.
Oh, God. What now?
Oh, it's just like...
Bringing back Daisy Ridley, right?
I don't know. I was mostly talking about the, like, guy who's going to be writing them, who I mostly know as the writer of the really embarrassing X-Men movies.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Not X-Men 3. Yeah.
I believe that might have been his first credit.
Oh, no!
But why?
Oh, God.
Yeah, pulling up his actual list of credits. Okay, yeah, so it's like the name being floated around is Simon Kinberg. Okay, first films as writer, Triple X, State of the Union, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, X-Men, The Last Stand, Jumper. Let's see... Sherlock Holmes, that was at least good.
Like the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes?
Yeah, the RDJ one.
Oh, that was a really fun movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Then,
okay.
X-Men Days of Future Past, X-Men Apocalypse, Dark Phoenix, New Mutants.
Two out of three of those were good.
Are you a big X-Men Apocalypse defender?
No, it's fine. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Days of Future Past, very good. Apocalypse, fine. I haven't seen Dark Phoenix because
it's X-Men 3 again.
Yeah, it's X-Men 3 again.
He also directed that one.
Oh, stop trying to make Dark Phoenix happen.
So, I just watched Deadpool and Wolverine last night, and...
Wolverine.
I have mixed feelings, but...
You will shut the fuck up.
Okay.
How dare you?
Okay, so first of all, I got what I expected from a Deadpool movie, right? He's always been meta, he's always breaks the fourth wall, that's his whole shtick, and that's fine. I like Deadpool. And I'm just really sick of all the time travel multiverse stuff, which he himself... does a whole monologue about how this, you know, we haven't had a lot of good stuff since Avengers Endgame, which itself wasn't very good. But,
what?
Yeah.
Okay, you whatever, heard me. Continue on.
But, so no, I mean, I got what I expected from a Deadpool movie. It was fine, but it's just like I said, I don't know. I liked the first two Deadpool movies better.
Did you fall asleep during the fight scene where they fought in a car to a song from fucking Grease?
I just didn't like the soundtrack that much. I mean, like, in the beginning when they played that NSYNC song, I'm like, that's funny, but then everything after that, I'm like, what? Who picked these songs?
I'm gonna be honest, I don't understand your taste in movies at all.
No. Me neither.
Yeah, okay.
Well, like, what I liked about, like, Deadpool and Venom and some of these other, like, kind of standalone superhero movies, you didn't have to watch all this other stuff to understand it, and, like, the first Deadpool movie was just kind of its own thing, and then Deadpool 2 was a direct sequel to that was fine, but this one, it's like, now it's like, you gotta watch both Deadpool movies and Loki Season 1 and Logan just to know...
any Loki...
Well, like, but how else would you know who the time authority people are?
You don't have to know. It's pretty clear. Okay.
All right.
I think that's a little harsh.
So then, like, it's cool that... Okay, like, I guess X-23 and Blade and Elektra and Gambit.
I haven't seen Logan. I don't know some of the references from that. I still greatly enjoyed that character.
Yeah. Well, it's just I'm glad that these characters, I guess, are going to be in the MCU now. I just think it was a sloppy way to do it, but I think I've just gotten burned out on all the multiverse crap. That's all.
But it's making fun of the multiverse for the most part.
It still has to be part of it and to make fun of it, so I can understand being burned out.
Yeah. So no, it was entertaining and it was fun for the most part. It's just, I don't know. But like, where's Cable and Domino? Like, come on, where'd they go?
Busy doing other movies.
I guess. All right.
That is what Deadpool would say.
But I'm kind of, that's kind of the issue I have with the MCU now, is that it's too much. It's like there's just too many movies and TV shows, and you have to watch all of them to know what the fuck is going on.
You really don't, because none of it has done fuck all.
for bad reasons.
Yeah. Especially don't watch. You don't have Secret to watch Invasion. All of them.
Parentheses negative.
Yeah, especially do not watch Secret Invasion.
Oh, I did.
And I can't believe that they got fucking Samuel L. Jackson to commit to a TV show, and they made the worst TV show they've ever made.
So what? Everyone's a Skrull? I don't get it.
That is traditional Secret Invasion bullshit.
I get what you're saying, and they've kind of created this stupid culture on their own. But at the same time, like, the whole idea for kind of this is like all creating the same thing that comics do. Like, it's big interconnected.
Yeah, they've just recreated the exact same comic book.
But you don't have to read all those comic books to kind of get everything. It just gives you the sense that all these things exist in the same world.
But it's a problem of their own making, because they've made you're missing things.
This is a problem they've created, but you don't have to watch it all.
Yeah. But you know what I want?
The Falcon and Bucky show, whatever the heck it was called. That's a great show.
Well, that was good.
And the Winter Soldier.
That was very good, because that was right after Endgame and Captain America's gone, and it gets more into the politics, and it's like, I thought that was really interesting. Yeah, and then, like, the Hawkeye show was good, too, because it was just Hawkeye and Kate Bishop, and then Kingpin shows up, and it's like, oh, this is neat. This is a nice Christmas show. Sure. But that's what I mean, though. I want to go back to just those standalone things where it's just a self-contained story.
I don't think that's good. Like, I saw the new Venom movie, and it was fucking awful because it's not that. Like, it's...
Okay.
I don't think that it being standalone is the problem.
I do. I do. I
a
do
bad
think
movie.
I do think it being standalone is the problem, because it's trying to bring in new characters that just don't work in this universe. Like, it's trying to get...
I mean, it's their desire to be something other than what they are.
Yeah,
it's trying to get too big, and it's the same problem I used to have with some of the older movies, where it's like you expect
the Fox movies.
You expect other superheroes to exist when these giant world-altering events occur, and it just doesn't work with like one set of characters.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really like the Christopher Nolan Batman movies, because there was only three of them. They didn't keep going and build this whole DCU out of it. You know, I like those movies, and I can go back and watch them and not feel like, oh, wait, I need to rewatch this other thing and this other thing. And then, oh, next I need to watch this other thing. It's like, well, no, you just watch those three movies and that's it.
I don't want them to do that. I like the idea of all these things, like, oh, you can have a movie with this superhero and like, hey, this person shows up. But yes, they need to like deprogram people to the idea that you have to watch fucking everything because they all matter to each other.
Yeah,
like, it shouldn't be like that. It should be like, hey, here's this Captain America movie, and maybe like some other character shows up during it. But it doesn't mean you have to, this movie is a required watch to watch that character's movie.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's great in, like, comic books where, hey, I can read this Spider-Man
comic. I can read a comic book in 7 minutes.
Yeah, okay, yes.
Yeah.
But, hey, I can read this crossover storyline with Spider-Man and, I don't know, the Fantastic Four. But I don't need to read that to understand what's going on in the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what they did in the recent Marvel stuff, because it was not really connected at all.
Yeah, well then, I'm just, but I was also just, after I watched it, I was kind of confused just trying to think of, like, all the different, like, timelines that are coming together here, and it's like, okay, so, are they now saying that, this world that we've been seeing through all these movies, this is the same one that Logan took place in, where old Wolverine dies and the next 23 shows up? But then the Wolverine in this movie isn't from any of the timelines we've seen before, you know? But then, oh wait, but Deadpool was actually in the MCU this whole time? He tried to join the Avengers? It's like, well, when did that happen? And I'm just getting kind of confused with just the timeline right now. And
okay, so I am pulling the emergency exit. I am fucking done with thinking about this idea.
Yes. Can I just finish this thought?
Like, no.
No, I'm gonna finish it anyway. You're taking this Deadpool movie way too seriously. Like the first two movies already play fast and loose with being connected to, like, the X-Men movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like you gotta stop. It's a Deadpool movie.
So it's over. I'm done. I'm gonna need to, like, fucking strangle this episode and destroy it, because I'm, like, I'm getting a headache trying to listen to you guys while trying to keep track of questions. So I'm done. No, I mean, I'm looking in RP Gamer right now. Like, I'm looking in the RP Gamer podcast section. Okay. We had one question. I'm going to do one more question that was requested, and then I'm ending this because my head hurts. Okay.
But he's got a question about 3. About the final big scene.
You do that. I'm going to get a drink.
Fireman, the movie had already had too many fight scenes. It had enough fight scenes at that point. They didn't have to do anything with the last one. Yeah, it was fine.
But then, like, if they're going to bring back the Jennifer Garner Elektra, then what about the other Elektra that was in the Daredevil series?
They're not, like, bringing her back. It's a cameo.
Oh, okay.
All those were just cameos. Fucking Wesley Snipes isn't going to come back and play Blade some more.
Well, good, because he's freaking old.
Although, what's his name that played Gambit? Why can't I think of his name?
I don't know.
Give him his own movie. Give me Gambit.
But then X-23 does show up at that birthday party thing at and so I guess she's here now. So the reason the X-Men weren't in the MCU yet is because this is the same universe that Logan took place in, and they're all dead. Is that what's happening here?
No.
Oh, okay. But then
have you seen the Marvels?
Yeah, but at the end of the Marvels, she goes into a different universe where she finds Beast,
so,
played by Kelsey Grammer.
I'm gonna spoil you exactly what they're doing here. They with the multiverse stuff, they've been hinting about two universes clashing and colliding.
Uh-huh.
And they're just building towards Secret Wars, where they're gonna have some kind of big clash of the two universes.
Yeah, so they
merge into one.
So they totally scrapped the Kang Dynasty, right? Because of Jonathan Majors being a monster.
Yeah, I think that's how they arrived at Doom. Was just fuck Kang, we're gonna do Doom.
But if Doctor Doom is played by Robert Downey Jr., does that mean he's just gonna end up being an evil Tony Stark from a different universe?
I hope not.
Okay.
Because I don't like that.
No, me neither. I like Bob, but I want him to actually be a new character. Like, Iron Man's gone. Sorry. You know?
Yeah, I don't like that. It's like there's a Reed Richards that's Doom in the current Ultimate Universe, but I don't like Tony Stark as Doom. I hope that's not what they're doing.
No.
No.
So let's see. Tatum,
thank you, Fire Manor.
Oh, here's the questions. Okay.
People are speculating the next Captain America movie will lead into Silver Samurai, Wolverine, and then the X-Men. Why? I don't think they're doing the X-Men till after Secret Wars and when they...
I just want a good... I want a good X-Men movie. When are we going to get a good X-Men movie?
I don't know.
Remember when the first live-action X-Men movie came out, and it was, I thought it was good at the time. I was a teenager, sure, but
it is good.
Yeah, that one.
It's still very good.
But then the second one was kind of okay. I saw it in the theater, and the part where
it's one of the best superhero movies ever.
Yeah, but then the second one, X United.
Yes,
I think
one of the best superhero movies ever.
Yeah, and then like when Lady Deathstrike dies and then she falls in the water and her head clunks into the... Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. He fills her up with adamantium and yeah. Great. Oh, okay. Sorry, I just found the list of questions in the Discord. Okay.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Because people were talking about fast food, Hardee's Jr. or some shit.
I'm curious why people are speculating Captain America's leading into Silver Samurai. I don't know where that's coming from.
Did you mean Silver Surfer?
No, he said Silver Samurai.
Yeah, but did he? I don't know.
No, he didn't mean
What's
Silver
up?
Surfer.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Because they want to get the next Captain America to be shown in China, so they can't get China to be the antagonist and have to make Japan the antagonist to America.
What the hell am I coming back to? No, I'm done. I'm done. Moving on.
Okay, moving on. I don't understand any of that.
Okay, so there was a question that was requested earlier. We're leaving off on that because I'm tired. People talked about how Yakuza saved Sega. They didn't know that at the time Sega was also relied a lot on their arcade division. The Naomi 2 and Atomus Wave were popular because they were the only choices for those who wanted a cheap platform to make games for, since the Neo Geo had already sunset and only Cave used the Poly Game Master. They were only beaten when the Taito Type X2 became popular. Should Sega fans demand to see more Atomus Wave / Naomi games being playable in any form, be it in separate collections or in Yakuza? I mean, there's a lot of interesting Naomi content. There's some other weird shit, but like, the thing about it is a lot of those like later Naomi games that they made money off of, like, they didn't... they don't own them. So like Sega's own Naomi content, like they sort of move into like stuff that's designed to be easily portable to like PS2, Xbox, and GameCube. Once you get into even the early 2000s, so it kind of ends up out of their hands for a lot of those later Naomi games that are kind of neat. But, I mean, it would be cool to see some of those games come back, like the... some of the weird stuff, like Arc System Works is fits in the North Star game. I think Rumblefish is an Atomus Wave game, I want to say. Although that came back and, like, the Rumblefish 2 port was not good, but... like, it did come back. Was that an Atomus Wave game? I think it was. Yeah, Atomus Wave. But, yeah, I feel like, can you even emulate the Triforce? I mean, probably it's mostly a GameCube. Those on where Triforce was the arcade board that was co-developed between like Sega, Nintendo, and Namco. It's not a ton of games on it, but like most of them, like I'm pretty sure you can get F-Zero AX running Like, there's some Virtua Striker. I think there's some other weird stuff. Oh, yeah, the Mario Kart Arcade GPs. Like, I think there's ways to get them to work. Because I believe the internals of the thing is mostly a GameCube. Yeah, the core board is literally, like, uses the same motherboard as the Japanese GameCube. Let's see. But it has, like, a different boot ROM. But, yeah, like, if you want to get these things running, it's a doable thing. Yeah, like it has its differences, but it's primarily it's a GameCube. See, also you can get Virtua Cop 3 running on an Xbox if you have more RAM in it. But let's see. But yeah, I think it'd be neat to get one of those, like, weird old Naomi games from after Sega was kind of done with the hardware. That would be neat. Honestly, I would really like to just see some of their just their Dreamcast era games in general. They're kind of reluctant to do much with, but it'd be nice. I would pay for them. But yeah, otherwise, man, I think I'm ready to close this out, especially because Wheels is now playing goddamn card games like a criminal. That means that before we go, let us plug dear friend, your friend and mine, Gaijin Monogatari's book. If you are interested in the experience of vicariously following a tabletop campaign but don't want to find out that you hate someone involved and or they're a sex pest, might I recommend Princesses of the Pizza Parlor by Michael Yarimizu. That's the name you'll find them under on Amazon, where it's available on as a physical print-on-demand book, or Kindle, or Kindle Unlimited. You can also, if you're more culturally, folklorally inclined, you can look up Tanuki as a Teapot and other sundry Japanese stories included within. That will once again be found print-on-demand, Kindle Unlimited, Michael Yarimizu. There's a lot of content there, but it's also very, very cheap. So, you know, give it a try. You won't be out much for trying. And it's good to support indie authors. Let's see what else. You can ask us questions like dear friends Fireminer and Budai did tonight. By catching us when we stream, which is at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, until either me or Wheels wants to die. Mm-hmm. 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, Thursdays. Until either me or Wheels wants to die. We also have our sister show Shenanigans, which is on Sundays at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, where we play whatever the fuck plans pending. You can also ask us questions on the RP Gamer Discord, like Fireminer did, by going to rpgamer.com and going to the community tab. You'll find a great deal of RPG-related discussion and non-RPG-related discussion. It's a lovely community if you're of a certain persuasion. You can also ask a question in the comments section on rpgamer.com under this very episode. Not a lot of people do that these days, but hey, it was nice when we we got questions that way from Kroll a few weeks ago. We do try to keep track of them. But otherwise, I'm a dead man walking, so see ya, Space Cowboys.
See ya.
See ya.
Also, Nazi punks, fuck off.
Now we're stuck on a whole different planet. No peace looking at the sky. Trouble's always all around. So we stay quick with the guns and cannons. Standing as long as we can until we get all...